Okay, so I'm back. It's the July 2nd call, the Ronald Grant JVX group, and I kind of want to get a show on the road. We got a couple people on the call, and then we have some others that are not going to be on here. So, guys, I want to start off and just kind of go through any kind of updates, anything that you guys are running into. And then after that, I wanted to take part of this call and do like some seller role play back and forth so that I think that there's some questions that are coming up about how to talking to sellers, cold calling. So I want to be able to kind of role play with how I do it. And then also maybe give each one of you guys a chance to kind of take the role as the investor with me being the seller. So how does that sound?
Sure.
Awesome. Okay. Sally, can I start with you with kind of what's going on now and how I can help and any kind of challenges you're running against?
Yeah, I've been throwing everything I got against a wall hoping something would stick. And
right.
The environment seems to me, at least what I'm running into, is rosier than the have-to-sell desperate people.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a seller who's also a buyer, has three offers. And apparently money's out there and people coming in to this particular area, which has good employment, they're even willing to go above the asking price. So I changed my strategy a little bit and started thinking, now, how do I get to the desperate folks? So I made up some signs, wanted to lease, and put those up at Fred Meyer community boards and some senior centers and hope that I can get people that way. And I started looking at Melissa Data and Black Box to get what I want is a list of defaults.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to do yellow letters to people who are hurting so that I really target the
got it. Now, I think I got the email from you earlier today when you were kind of talking to the world about that. So
right.
Did you get the response that I sent?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So how and the reason that you're going after the notice of default is because you're looking for motivation?
Yeah. Actually, I talked to the Ron LeGrand people called me and
yes.
Wanted me to go on their mentoring program.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that right now that I was involved in giving it my best shot and not having any luck, but, you know, I hadn't given up yet. And they were the ones that suggested go for the notice of default.
Okay.
So,
that's actually kind of what I had guessed, and I did send a response to you, but in Washington State, there's some laws that were passed in 2000, I think it was 2008, about the distressed homeowner law. Excuse me. So that it makes it not that you can't work with foreclosures. It's just that if you work with anybody that is in default or might be in default, that you automatically become what's known as a distressed homeowner or distressed home consultant. So I don't know. Do you know much about that yet?
You know, I went to a class on negotiating distressed properties, so I know a little bit about the laws.
Okay.
And I know you have to be careful and tread carefully.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Here's the rundown, and I'm going to kind of probably tell you why I would maybe recommend some other routes of doing this.
Very
in
well.
If according to what I understand with the law, and I actually had to basically stop my foreclosure business. I used to negotiate a lot of short sales back in the first 5 years of my investing. So I would contact the notice default list, and then also the pre-NOD list, which is basically a 30, 60, or 90-day late. And so I was doing this a lot. It was about half of my business would involve working with the sellers. A lot of them needed short sales, so we would negotiate short sales. And buy the property or flip it or whatever. Well, what ended up happening is when they passed the distressed home consultant law, basically said that if you work with anybody who's in default or who might be in default within the next 4 months, then you're automatically considered a distressed home consultant, which means that you have certain documents and disclosures that you have to get them to sign, which is not that big of a deal. But the biggest thing is that you are automatically a fiduciary of the homeowner, So it's the same kind of relationship that, say, an attorney and a client would have, where the attorney has to look out for the client's best interest. Well, the same thing has to do with an investor. So an investor has to look out for the seller's best interest, and the investor has to put the seller's interest above theirs. So the only problem comes in the fact that if we're negotiating purchases, at what point in a negotiation are we putting our interest ahead of a seller? And so the problem becomes that there's a very, very big gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people I believe, to my knowledge, the only ones that are exempt from this are real estate agents and attorneys. And so one of the things that you can do is you can separate yourself a little bit by having a real estate agent do the work for you, and you be the one that makes the offer. The other option is to not contact them at all. And my opinion in this market is that a majority of the people that you're going to be contacting, if they're in default, they're probably also going to be overfinanced. Now, there's going to be some folks that have equity, but a vast majority of the NOD list is going to be people with no equity, and so it's going to require a short sale. And most banks now, in the past, you know, I negotiated a lot of short sales myself in the past. Well, now most banks are requiring those properties to be listed on the open market by a real estate agent in order to get the highest, you know, to let the market dictate the sales price. So you might have to involve a real estate agent anyway to list it. And if you're going to have to have a real estate agent list it and you're going to have to submit an offer through them, then you might as well just save your money on your marketing and then go after the low-hanging fruit, of which is houses that are already listed for short sale. Does that make sense?
Okay, I follow that through, assuming that assuming the mortgage is too high is not reasonable for a rent.
Right.
But if, I guess, I was thinking that this strategy that we were dealing with benefited the homeowner as well as us.
Okay. So you're talking about doing acts with it, right?
Right.
Okay.
By keeping them out of default.
So I wanted
people that were pre-foreclosure.
Right. Well, so here's the deal. If they have a notice of default, that means that they're probably at least 60 to 90 days late. Usually the notice of default, a lot of times the notice of default sometimes doesn't appear on their door until after they've already missed a couple payments. So they're already going to be behind. And, you know, with an axe deal, you're going to rely on the buyer's option consideration as an assignment fee. And if they're behind in payments, then you're losing a big chunk of that option fee, which would have to go towards the house and towards the mortgage.
Bringing it current.
Yeah, and so you're kind of cutting your assignment fee down quite a bit. And then you run the other problem, which is if somebody is behind in payments or having trouble making their mortgage payment, if you are assigning your deal to a buyer. Already, you know, flipping wholesaling lease options and AXE deals, they have an intrinsic, risk for things to go sideways where you want to be able to limit the liability or somebody getting the raw end of a deal and then coming back and saying, well, you know, Sally or Mike advertised his house and now there's a problem. You know, I want to sue Sally or Mike or something like that. Well, if you're working with someone who's already behind in payments, even if you get those payments caught up, then there's a greater chance that something down the line can happen financially for that seller where that mortgage payment might not be made again.
Yeah.
And then you run the risk potentially of having that house go into foreclosure while you have a new tenant buyer in there, which could open up a can of worms. I don't know. I just I can give you an alternative.
So I'm looking for people that are desperate, but not too desperate. Is that what you're saying?
Well, here, desperate, but not in a situation that what I think is walking into a hornet's nest. So here's what my recommendation would be. It would be to mail expired listings.
I can do that.
Yeah, so expired listings, obviously you're working with somebody who tried to sell, couldn't sell. The listing is expired. And so you definitely know they have an interest in selling, but there's a greater chance that they're probably in a position where they're either going to rent it or they're going to relist it. And if you can send a letter to them saying you want to buy their house and that you're not, you know, you're an investor, or you know, just a yellow letter. So not anything about an investor, but just say the simple yellow letter. Hi, my name is Sally. I'm interested in your house at 123 Main Street. Give me a call. You're going to probably get a higher percentage of calls, and a majority of those ones will be interested in selling. So, so that's the other thing too, is with the pre NOD, with the notice of default list.
Right.
Not all of them are interested in selling. A lot of them want to stay in their house.
Okay.
Okay, so with an expired listing, you know that a majority of those are still wanting to sell.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
One of them had called me today and said they had a special for the 4th of July. I think it was Melissa. So can I get that?
The Melissa data? No, what I would do is find an agent. And of course, you want to have an agent on your dream team anyway.
I've got an agent that deals with distressed properties.
Okay. So any real estate agent that has access to the MLS can pull up a list of properties that have expired listings.
Okay. Does that sound like I'm undercutting the agent, or is there a way to frame it?
No, what you do. So here, the agent can benefit from this. If you're doing the prospecting and you're spending the money to contact the owner, then when you go and meet with the owner and you kind of pitch the axe deal or whatever, if something doesn't work out, then you can always have that, you know, if the seller ultimately doesn't want to, you can say, hey, you know, I know that didn't work out with your last agent. I've got a really great agent I recommend, and you can try to feed leads to that real estate agent.
Thank you. I can work with that, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, but you also, the other thing is my rule whenever I'm working with a real estate agent is if I want to ask something of an agent for help, if I'm not already doing a bunch of deals with them, then I want to do my best to try to feed them business before I do my first asking. So, you know, if you're starting out new and you want to find a real estate agent to work with, find somebody that you can send a couple leads to, and then they will. Then that's kind of making a couple deposits. It's going to be a lot easier for you to work with you and give you stuff if you've already kind of helped them out a little bit.
Yeah, it's just good business. Okay.
I'll tell you what I said about the whole short sale thing. That's my opinion. There's reasons why I recommend that. I don't. I think that there's a lot better ways to find axe deals rather than going after pre-notices or notice of defaults. So, I guess you can take it.
I feel like I'm skirting this buyer-seller relationship, and that's this fine line that I'm walking. I'm perfectly willing to put the time in to get a real estate license. Is that advisable?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that it's probably going to be better off doing that. I have a license, but I don't have it hung with a broker yet. And I'm actually seriously considering doing it, because you do end up walking a fine line when you're talking about these axe deals, in that you have to keep yourself as a principal. And maybe, you know, when we do a little role play here, I'll be able to kind of let you know how I do it. But, you know, having your license can just make it loads easier if you can talk to a seller and say, you know, here's the situation. I don't want to lock you into another listing. In fact, I get paid, you know, it doesn't cost you anything, but I do have buyers that are looking for lease purchase. And if you would consider, you know, renting to somebody who wants to buy your home so you don't ultimately have to pay, a 6% real estate commission, then I can find, you know, I can advertise at my cost and on my time. And if I can find a buyer, they'll pay me, so it won't cost you anything. is there any reason we couldn't do business? And, you know, at that point, you don't even have to worry about skirting that gray area. And then the only thing that I would recommend is you would want to find an investor-friendly broker who you could either negotiate a favorable deal split or somebody that you can hang your license in that you just pay a simple desk fee, you know, a monthly fee to keep your license going, where you get to keep all of the commissions or profits. So
I had also heard that there were some downsides to being a broker. For example, there are a fair number of people that say, you know, are you an agent? I don't want to talk to an agent.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give me a response to that one?
I'll tell you how I would respond and how I plan to. If I hang my license and somebody says that, I say, well, you know, Sally, I do have a real estate license. I don't list houses like a real estate agent does. Actually, the reason I got my license is I wanted access to the MLS, and you know, I wanted to be able to, you know, for me, I buy bank-owned houses. I want to be able to get an opportunity to go into any house that's listed on the MLS without having to contact a real estate agent. And then I wanted the education. So, you know, unlike an agent who, you know, agents that probably call you that want to lock you into a listing, here's what I'm trying to do. I have buyers. I just recently sold a house that on a lease purchase, and I had a lot of people that purchased or that contacted me that are looking for a rent-to-own home. And so what I like to do is, you know, find out what you need for your house, and then I will go find a buyer that can pay you that. And the best thing is that I don't have to lock you into any kind of listing, and you don't even have to pay me. I'm going to get paid by my buyer. You know, only get paid by the buyer if I bring somebody in that you approve. So it's really a no-lose situation for you. And if anything, it's free advertising. So, you know, is there any reason that we couldn't work something like that out if it didn't cost you anything and I did all the work at my expense?
Well, I really think I can sell it outright and get cashed out. The market's kind of picked up.
Okay. And how long have you had it listed for sale now?
Oh, I've just had it on the market for a couple of weeks. I just put my ad on Craigslist.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, that's the best part, because why don't we do this? You list it for sale, and you also let me know, you know, what would you consider if I could bring somebody in who wanted to buy it but needed to rent it a little bit first, you know, what's the sale price you'd need? And if you find a buyer before I find a buyer, then, you know, you can sell the house and you wouldn't owe me anything. So is there any reason that you wouldn't want me marketing the house at the same time you would?
Well, if it isn't exclusive, why do I have to sign a contract?
The reason you have to sign a contract is because I need to, in order for me to sell the house, I've got to have an agreement from you where if I find a buyer, then I can assign that to them and make my fee. I don't want to do any work, a bunch of work, if I don't know that it's going to work out for us. So while the agreement is non-exclusive, you know, we got to have something down in writing and understanding between us before I can market the property. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So let me ask you this: you're looking to sell it for $250, right?
Right.
Okay. And if you were to, you're advertising yourself for $250. There's a good chance that in this market, buyers are probably going to not offer full price, right?
Not offer full price?
Yeah, they're probably
going
to ask
a little
bit.
They're going to come in low to start with, uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's typically what happens. So if I could find you someone who could pay full price, $250,000, and then while they're renting it, I know rent for your house is about $1,400. If they could pay you $1,650 a month and then agree to buy the property within the next 2 years for $250,000, is that something that you would consider?
Well, I need some cash to move.
Okay. So you're gonna get $1,650 when they move in. How much more cash to move do you need than that? Would that be enough to cover your moving costs?
Yes, I'm not going too far, so that would help the utilities. That would work.
Okay. So great. So what this is what the plan would be. Is that they would come in with the $1,650 for the first month's rent, and they pay that up front. You'd have your money to move, and then each month they pay you the $1,650. Now, here's the best part, Sally, is that if for some reason, you know, they're paying the extra $250 a month for the right to buy your house at $250, and that $250 is going to go towards the purchase. And the nice thing about rent-to-own is that you get that, and you can spend that money, and if they decide that they don't buy the house, they're not going to buy the house, then they forfeit that. So it's going to do a couple things. One, it's going to encourage them to pay on time, because if they don't pay on time, they don't get that credit. And it's going to also encourage them to buy the house, and if they don't, then that's extra money you get every month that you'll be able to keep. Does that sound good?
It does sound good. And is my bank going to know about this?
Well, if you want, you can tell your bank about it. I don't think that they're going to do much about it. You know, if you rent a property out, then you usually don't have to notify your bank. So
mm-hmm.
this is no different.
Okay. Sounds good.
So if I can find a buyer, that will, and I'm speaking realtor speak right now because we talked about that earlier. If I can find a buyer for you, that would pay the $1,650 a month and agree to buy it within 2 years for $250,000. Now they'd have the option to buy it. It's not something where they have to buy it. But most of the people that are, if they're looking to own and they're going to pay an extra $250 per month, they're going to have an extra incentive to want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can find somebody that'll pay the $250 within 2 years and pay $1,650 a month, would that be good enough to get you moved on and make you happy?
Well, I just want to be sure here. Now, I've offered to pay a buyer's agent if they bring me I'm not listing it, but I will pay a buyer's agent. I don't have to pay you a buyer's agent fee, right?
You don't have to unless you want to. I mean, I'll pay you money. It would probably make my wife happy. But no, I get paid a fee for finding the property and bringing them into the deal. So they pay me. And you wouldn't owe me a commission, but I do want to get it in writing so that we have an understanding. And if possible, if everything works out here, I'd love to meet with you this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Which would work better?
Let's do it tomorrow morning, and
okay.
I'll have
I'm gonna come over tomorrow morning, and
there.
I'll just have a short maybe 3 pages to fill out, get the information about your house. Now I want to see your house too to make sure it's going to qualify. Sally, so you said it's your house is a nice home and it's in a good area?
Right, it doesn't need repairs.
It doesn't need any repairs,
no.
Okay. Well, if what you're telling me is true, I'll bring the paperwork. We can get it signed tomorrow. I'd like also to bring my camera to take some pictures, and I'd like to get marketing right away. So I will see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. So that was a quick role play from we kind of segued from the whole being a realtor thing. Let's talk about that same deal, but let's do it as me as an investor. All right, so you have a $250,000 house. It's a for sale by owner, and I'm going to call you from Craigslist. All right?
All right.
So ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mike. Who am I speaking with?
This is Sally.
Oh, hi, Sally. I'm just calling about your house on Craigslist. Is it still available?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good, good. I saw a couple of the pictures. It looks like it's a pretty nice house. What else can you tell me about it? How many bedrooms? Is it a three-bedroom or four-bedroom?
Three-bedroom, two-bath house, and
uh-huh.
It has an extra family room.
Extra family
yeah.
room, great.
Mm-hmm.
And I see
it's
that you're
good
asking $250,000 for it?
Right.
Okay.
Right, that's what we feel we need to get out of it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are you flexible on that price at all?
Well, we kind of, you know, we want to wait and see what the market will bear. There's a lot of vacant houses in our neighborhood, but we feel that our house is very nice, and this is what we want to get out of it.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, are some of the houses in the neighborhood a little bit trashy then? Is that what you're saying? It's not a good neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a very good neighborhood. It's just people have kind of had some hard times.
Oh, okay.
So the values that we've seen in the neighborhood might be less, but our home was worth it.
Okay. All right. So you're basing your price off of what now?
Well, this is just what we need to get out of it to pay off our loan.
Oh, okay. So you have a mortgage that you owe close to the $250.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, it probably makes it tough for you to sell, right? Because is that why you're selling on your own, because you don't have enough money out of the sale to be able to pay a real estate agent?
Well, I don't know that we don't have enough, but that certainly that extra commission would add to our costs, and
right.
This way
how much do you have left to pay on the mortgage?
I don't think that's information we want to divulge at this point. That's our personal finances.
Oh, well, you know, the only reason I ask is because, you know, if you owe, you know, you're listing it for $250, so it usually costs about 3% in closing costs to sell, which would be about $7,500. So if you were to sell for the $250 minus the $7,500, would that be enough to pay off your loan completely? Or do you owe more than the $242, or do you owe less than that?
We'd have to come to the table with some money in order to pay
okay.
a buyer's agent, and especially if we were to pay a listing agent, which is why we're going for sale by owner.
Got it. Okay, so you owe around $240 or $235?
Yeah, right in there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that, you know, the only reason I wanted to find out is to, you know, find out if you'd even be able to sell for $250. And you know, some sellers, if they owe $250, they don't realize they have to pay closing costs. And that's the reason I was asking.
We understand that that we can get the buyer to pay some closing costs, or that we can share the closing costs.
Yeah, well, I mean, that might be the case. Sally, I'm actually a real estate investor. The reason I called is I was wanting to find out if I could potentially buy your house. But the challenge that I'm going to have is I have cash available, but in order for me to pay cash, I'd probably have to pay much less than what you owe on the house. And so I'm trying to figure out another way that I can buy your house. I'm looking to do this as an investment. And, you know, quite frankly, if I were to actually buy it, I probably could pay less than $200, which I know that that's, you know, you're not able to sell for that low. I understand that. Let me ask you a question. If I could rent the house from you for a period of time and then buy it at a later date, if I could pay your asking price, would that be something you consider? If I could cover your payments in the next, you know, for the time being until I'm able to purchase it and then pay your asking price, would that be something you'd consider?
I considered if it could go very fast.
Okay. So how soon are you looking to move?
Well, I really don't want to make any more payments.
I see. Okay, so did you just make the July payment? It's July 2nd right now. So you
heard
the next payment due in August. Okay.
Payment to
us. All right. How much is your mortgage payment?
About $1,500.
Okay. All right. And if you were to rent the house, you could probably get about $1,500 for rent, or would it be a little less?
No, I think the area would support $1,500.
Okay. So here is what I would like to do. I would like to meet with you to see if this house would work out. And what I would like to do is see if I could buy your house, but do it through a lease purchase. So I'd run it first, and then when we had time for the market to come back and for your loan to get paid down, then, you know, I could cash you out of your mortgage. And in some case, and I wouldn't be living there, so I'd probably, you know, lease it myself to another tenant or somebody else. So, but I'd have to find out if this would work. But would you consider a lease option if I could buy it for what you owe on it? You know, sometime in the future, it might need maybe 4 or 5 years for us to allow the market to come back. But I can take care of all the maintenance in the meantime. Would that be something you consider?
So. If you're not going to live in this house, do you have a buyer?
Well, I would find a renter. I wouldn't want to live in the house myself, but I could make the payments. Or what I might do in some cases, if I find somebody who is pretty well qualified, Sally, I just might I might just assign it over to them so that they'd be a tenant, and
uh-huh.
they might pay me a fee for it, but you would be able to approve anybody who's in the house. And I'd have my loan officer pull their credit and make sure. So ultimately, they would be interested in buying the property, and I'd have it as an investment. But either I would guarantee the payments to you, or what I'd do is I'd bring them in. They'd pay me a fee for me to assign the lease to them. And then at your approval, you get to approve their credit and get to meet them and everything. But then they could buy the property for what you owe on it. So either way, you wouldn't have to come out of pocket to pay any kind of closing costs, and you'd have your mortgage covered in the meantime. So it'd be a lot better than having to actually, you know, pay $10,000 or $15,000 or more to pay a real estate agent, right?
That's true.
Okay. So if I could do that for you, is there a reason that we couldn't meet tomorrow?
I'm glad to meet with you, and I want to explore all options. But, you know,
sure.
If I can sell it outright and get cashed out of it, especially before school starts, I think people
right.
are going to.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we can meet, and if I can maybe get the option to lease option your house until I find a buyer in the future, is that something? And I'll let you list the property yourself. And if you find a buyer before me, then we'll be. Oh, I'm sorry. I had a visitor to my my room. Our dogs are coming in. Anyway, hold on for 10 seconds. Okay, I'm back. Sorry, I had dogs coming into the room.
Yeah, I'm good
so
with
if I
that.
Could, okay, you're good. I don't even know the question I asked. What did I say, Sally? Did I say
if you could find a buyer for me? And I could
well,
go, I
actually,
could
you know, and let me make a distinction here, Sally, because I'm not a real estate agent, so I can't list your house, and I'm not going to find a buyer for you. But I would like to come in as buyer, and in some cases, I'd stay in it, and I'd make the lease payment to you myself. But
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on what I find tomorrow, I might just assign my lease option contract over to the buyer, and if I do that, you'd have the ability to approve them. So, you know, my goal would be to find a good family to sign my contract over to. And if anything, it's free advertising for your house. If you are, you know, you want to continue to offer your house for sale or for rent while I'm looking for my buyer, and if you find a buyer before me, then, you know, you wouldn't owe me anything, and we can get out of the contract. So it's really a no-lose situation. And, again, if anything, it's free advertising for you. So it's a pretty good deal.
I think that's fair. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's meet tomorrow morning. All right. So off script here. I don't know how well of a job you felt I did dancing around that, but the one thing I think can help is – when I talk to a seller, I really try not to sell them on the idea of doing business with me very much. I want them to be kind of intrigued and interested in working with me. So sometimes the more that you try to convince somebody, the least likely they are to do business with you. So sometimes, like if you were playing hardball, maybe that's let's try this again. And hey, Chris, are you there?
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, I want to do this from the start again, and I want to have you be a seller who kind of maybe more or less not necessarily suspicious, but be somebody who, you know, is giving me a little bit more resistance, okay? And I'll kind of show you guys how I handle that.
Okay.
All right, so let's just do the same deal. I don't know what you owe. Make up whatever number you want, but you got a house that's worth about $250. It's on Craigslist. And so I'm going to be calling you right now. So ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Hey, is this Chris?
Yeah, it's me.
Chris, this is Mike. I saw your house in Craigslist. Is it still available?
Yes. Are you a realtor?
No, not a real estate agent. Actually, I'm looking for – this is the one that's for rent, right?
No, this is – it's for sale.
Oh, it is for sale. Okay, good, good. Okay, yeah, I see here. You're looking to, you're selling for $250. Is can you tell me about the house? How many bedrooms is it?
Three bedroom, two bath. Just did some new cabinets in the kitchen, and it's well taken care of. It's a good house. Put some love and care into it.
All right. And is it in a good neighborhood, or what's the neighborhood like?
It's a good neighborhood. Kid friendly. Here's some good schools. It's a good place.
Cool. So are you living in it now, or is it a rental?
I'm living in it right now, and but we're gonna be heading over to Oregon soon.
Okay. So is there like a job change, or are you just going back to be closer to family, or what's the reason for selling? I mean, work for
family. Yeah, I'm transferring over to a different location in my job.
All right. Well, I'm looking to buy a house. I'm actually my wife and I, we invest in real estate. We're looking for a property that we can hold as a rental. So this is kind of be more of an investment. I know you're asking $250. Are you flexible on that price at all, or do you need to have $250 otherwise you won't sell?
Well, we're pretty solid on $250. That's what we're listing it as. So probably
is that would you consider that a pretty would that be a pretty good deal for a buyer? I'm kind of familiar with the area. I live in Bremerton. I see your house is over in Federal Way. But is that kind of what other houses are going for, or how'd you arrive at that price?
It's around what we'd need to, in order to move, and, comparable to the value of the other house in the area, so.
Okay. I have cash. And I've been making some offers on some bank-owned properties, and we're just kind of having some fits with the banks because they're taking a long time to get back to us, and there's a lot of other investors out there that are bidding the prices. So I can pay cash and, you know, not have to go through a financing or anything. So if you're in a position that you can lower your price, I might be able to do something to close within a week or so. So are you saying that if you don't get $250 exactly, then you're not going to sell the house?
Well, I'm not using a realtor, so I might be able to maybe come down a couple grand.
Okay. Yeah. You know, that probably wouldn't work for me. I since it's an investment, I either have to get a good price for a good cash price or maybe, you know, get some good terms. So if I didn't have to use that cash, I could pay a lot higher price. You said you needed that price in order to be able to have enough money to move and pay your mortgage. How much do you have left to pay off in the mortgage?
That's probably kind of private. So,
how long have you owned the house for?
We bought it in 2002.
Okay. So you probably, if you bought an 02 and the market went up, you're probably kind of owe close to the $250. Would you have enough money to pay off your mortgage in full if you sold for that $250 then?
We'd take a tiny hit, but it's right around there.
Okay. So you'd have to come to closing a little bit of money to pay out the mortgage. So you probably owe around $245 or so. Here's the reason I'm asking. I'm not trying to get into personal business at all. And in fact, I mean, I can just go online you can look up on the public records to find out what you paid and everything and the mortgage amount. So the only reason I was asking is I didn't want to make an offer which is going to make you come to the table with a lot of cash. And it sounds like if I were to pay cash for your house, I couldn't pay you enough to satisfy your loan. So the other option is would you consider selling if I could pay your asking price, if you'd sell to me on like a rent-to-own or lease purchase?
I'm only kind of familiar with that, but that would mean that I'd still have the mortgage on my name while there was up until I sold it. So
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be just as here's how it work. And you know, honestly, Chris, until I see your house, I don't even know if it's something I'd be interested in. But if I liked your house, and what I potentially could do is, if you're willing to allow me to make your payment equal to what your mortgage is each month, so you wouldn't have to come out of pocket, and basically buy your house at a later date for what you owe on it. So I need some time for your loan to get paid down and for the market to increase. I don't know if that's going to be, you know, 5 years or 7 years. You know, the way the market is right now, I'm hoping that we're at a bottom, but, you know, it could bounce around to the bottom, you know, to find a bottom over the next several years. So if I could at least relieve you of the debt and take care of all the maintenance, and then buy it from you at a later date for what your mortgage is, then I might be interested in something like that, and I could obviously pay the price that you're asking so you can get out of your loan. But I wouldn't be able to cash you out until that later date. That's kind of how a rent-to-own works, is I'd just be leasing it from you. I'd buy it at a later date for what you got in it, and the bottom line is that you wouldn't have to come out of pocket to pay your loan off. But I really want to see the house first, just to make sure it would work as an investment. Because what I would end up doing is I would rent it out to a buyer myself, who would be able to buy it for me at a later date, because I'd be doing this to make a profit. But either way, you know, the end result would be, you know, you would have somebody who'd be making your mortgage payment. You wouldn't have to come out of pocket to pay your loan off. It would just be a little bit of a delayed closing in order to get the price that you're asking. So is that something that you might consider?
Well, how much of a delay for this closing are you talking about? Because I'm going to have this mortgage on my credit, and then
sure.
When I try to move down to Oregon, I'm going to have a hard time purchasing a second home if I'm still carrying this debt. Even though the payments are being made, it's still on my credit.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. Have you ever had rental property before?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I have quite a few rentals. But you can talk to a loan officer. In fact, it's probably a good idea for you to do that. You know, having a rental property doesn't automatically eliminate you from being able to get financing on a new house. But what they will do is they'll take a look at what income you're getting for the property. And then they usually take about 70% of that and subtract your mortgage from that 70% of the rent. And if that is the debt that would go against, I guess, what they call a debt-to-income ratio. So talk to a loan officer, but there's a good chance that, especially, you know, if I can do the lease from you and make the payments and everything, there's a really good chance that you would still, depending on what other debts you have, you'd still be able to qualify for a mortgage on your house down in Oregon. You'd have to move down there regardless of whether you sold the house or not right now, right?
True.
So if you don't sell the house, are you just planning on renting it?
That was one of the options we were looking at, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the only difference with a lease purchase versus just a regular rental is if you were just to rent your house, then you would be responsible for the maintenance, the day-to-day, you know, like the maintenance of the property if the faucet leaked or if, you know, a neighbor threw a rock through the window or something like that and broke it. You'd have, you know, the maintenance to take care of at your expense. With a rent-to-own, then the tenant buyer usually takes care of all the day-to-day maintenance and the cost for that. So in my opinion, it's better to do rent-to-own than it is to do a rental, especially if you're going to be a long-distance landlord. And then, you know, with the tenant having, you know, obviously me, I've got an interest in buying the house. So, you know, I'm obviously, you know, I'm going to be paying on time and everything and make sure the house is in good condition. So that's what I'm looking for. You know, if it doesn't work out for you, you know, you're obviously free to do whatever you want. But in my opinion, you know, it's probably going to be the best way for you to get at least get rid of the payment. It's going to feel just like selling, because if you were to sell the house, you know, you don't have a mortgage payment and you don't owe anything to the bank. With a rent to own, again, your mortgage is taken care of and you won't have to owe anything to the bank. The only difference is that, yeah, you're, like you said, your loan's going to be in your name. You'll still be the owner of the real estate and of the house until it's purchased. But the good news is that you'll get an interest write-off on your mortgage, so that it might actually make you some money. When it comes tax time, you'll save on your taxes. So I sell a lot of my houses on rent-to-own. I can show you the paperwork that I use. But, you know, is there any reason that we couldn't work something out then at that price and terms?
Actually, ends up sounding kind of reasonable. I'd be interested in talking to you about it further.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I've got 10 o'clock tomorrow morning available, so would that work for you?
10 o'clock would work.
Okay, all right. I will see you tomorrow, Chris.
All right, have a good one.
Cool, all right. You weren't very hard on me, man.
I thought I was. I guess,
all right.
What were you looking for?
I was looking for, I don't know, for you to say, I don't want to do a rent to own, or why, you know, when I talked about not wanting to, where I wasn't going to live in the house, I was going to lease it to somebody else. I wanted to think, you know, whatever. I don't know. I guess, did you feel, what was that?
You sold me.
Okay.
You won me over.
You're just too good, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, when you hear me talk about that, is that something that you guys think that you could do when you're talking to sellers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
This is a good call, Mike. This is one I plan to listen to again. So I'm glad you've got this all on tape.
Yeah. So, okay, here's I want to do another role play with me as the buyer. And I want to get more into me assigning this contract. And I want you guys to, somebody, I don't know, Sally, we'll start with you, Sally, again. I want you to kind of grill me more on, you know, so what are you trying to do, and how do you get paid, and if there's any other things any questions that you fear a seller asking, or maybe an experience, throw it at me, and I don't know, let's just see how I do. And we'll use the same scenario. Again, you don't have to owe close to what it's worth. If you have equity, then maybe let's do a deal where you have some equity, actually a fair amount, okay? Maybe you owe $100,000 and or $150,000. Don't tell me what you owe, but just think of a number, enough that you have some equity, and let me see if I can get through this call. And you can be hard on me again with saying, you know, when I ask you what you owe, okay, and you say you don't want to tell me.
All right,
Sally?
Let's try.
Okay, ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Hi, this is Mike. You have the house on Craigslist?
I do, yes. Mike, okay. Mike who?
My name is Mike Sumsky.
Uh-huh.
Hi, and you said your name is Sally?
Sally, right.
Hi, Sally. Tell me about the house. I see that it's a four-bedroom, and I see you're asking $250,000. That's all I kind of see. There's a picture of the front, but did you have any interior photos? Is it nice inside, or is it?
It is nice inside. It's about 2,200 square feet.
Okay.
And,
very cool. How many bathrooms?
1.75 is the way we classify it.
So all right.
One and a shower.
Yeah, one's got a shower. Now, is that a split-level house, or is that like a regular two-story where you walk in on the main level and it has a...
It's a split.
It's a split level? Okay. All right. And then are you living there, or is it a rental house?
No. We own it, and we're moving on.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm looking to buy something, you know, is it okay if I ask you some questions about it? I'll tell you what. I'm a real estate investor, so I'm kind of looking for a property that I could buy. I have cash available, but since it's an investment, I kind of need a little bit of a flexible price. Are you firm on that $250,000, or are you willing? If I can pay you cash, would you be willing to come down on that price?
No, we think the market's taken a turn, and we think we can sell it.
Oh, okay. How long do you have a Craigslist for?
I'm sorry?
How long has it been on Craigslist?
Oh, just a week. Just came on.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I kind of noticed the same thing too on, you know, the houses that I've had that need a little bit of fix up, or that we haven't remodeled, those are taking longer to sell. But the properties that we've really fixed up nicely have started to sell a little bit faster. So how come you're not listing with a real estate agent?
We think we can do just as well as any agent can do. So we're going to
Yeah.
try this first, and if it doesn't sell, well, then we'll talk about an agent.
Okay, so you're not interested in an offer. If you don't sell for 250, then you're not going to accept any offers. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we expect offers to come in, and we're going to review every offer that we get.
Okay, so again, I can pay cash, but I'd have to have a good flexible price. So you know, if I could cash you out, you know, what's the number that you'd feel good about? You know, if I could buy it within a week.
Within a week?
Or I mean, obviously, if you need time to move, I could close the purchase and give you cash so you could move. Are you moving out of state or are you moving locally?
We are moving out of state,
Oh,
and
okay.
that
Yep.
the
Yeah.
if we didn't have to make the mortgage payment next month, that certainly would be a consideration when we evaluate your offer. But how much do you want to pay?
Well, how much are you looking for?
Well, I'd like you to make me an offer.
Okay. Well, I'm an investor, so you know I like to buy cheap. If I paid you $1, would you accept that?
No.
No, of course. I know that. Well, I'll tell you what, I would need to see the house, obviously. But to be honest, when I buy houses, Sally, I use private lenders, private money partners, just, you know, people like you that I have money that's wanted to take out of the stock market or CD or something. And I pay them like the bank, but you know, we would need probably about a 30% minimum equity buffer in order to make it a good conservative investment for us. And we could pay cash, but I don't know if it's something that you would consider at a price something.
30% off of what I'm asking?
That would be what I could pay if I could pay cash. Now I can buy your property in a number of different ways. I could pay you more, and I understand, Sally. You're not in a position that you have to sell. So I only tell you that just to let you know what I'm buying out there, you know, with my cash. If I could pay you more, would you maybe consider carrying a contract or maybe getting a lump sum of your equity now and then another lump sum at a later date? And I could make a substantial down payment.
So I would carry the contract. What percent interest would I get?
I guess it depends on the price. But well, let me ask you, how much do you have left to pay off on the mortgage?
Little less than half.
A little less than half. Okay, so you owe around like 100 or 100 to 125. Okay, all right. So I could. Here's what I could do. And obviously, Sally, I got to see your house to see if this would, you know, even work for me. But I could make you an offer that could. You know, the highest I could pay would involve maybe paying off your loan of the 100 to 120. So how much do you owe? Is it 100 or 125?
Well, we'd have to get a figure from the bank on after the
Okay.
amortization schedule.
Okay. All right. Well, I could make an offer. I could pay your loan off, and then I could make you monthly payments. So you have some income. And if I could do that, then I could pay a lot more. See, if I'm not using my cash, if I could use as little as possible, I could pay the higher price. And if you were otherwise just to take the cash that you get from selling the house and put it into a CD or something like that, you're not going to earn a whole lot of interest. So, you know, if I could pay you like you being the bank, that could work out. And I've done it a lot of times with houses I bought. So that's one way. And the other thought is, would you be willing to maybe sell at, on a lease purchase, if I could lease your house and buy it at a later date, or you know, your asking price, or maybe close to that, would that be something you'd consider?
Well, you know, we haven't really thought a lot about terms. We figured somebody just come and like the house, and then the bank would deal with all of this stuff.
Okay.
We weren't going to deal with the finances. That's the buyer's problem.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just I know in this market, you know, you may be able to sell your house fast, but In some cases, I mean, if your house were to sit empty and you said you're moving out of state, if you don't sell your house, would you be planning on just renting it then?
If assuming this dragged on, we'd have to go to a plan B. Right now, we have a positive expectation of selling.
Okay. Well, I don't want to waste your time, Sally. If you don't think that something like this can work, but what I'm willing to do is meet with you if you can either be flexible on the price or flexible on the terms, and the offer that I could. The only offer I could make, which can give you full price, is if I were to be able to maybe lease your house for some time, maybe 3 or 4 years, and then cash you out at that later date. In that time, I could cover your mortgage payment, and I could take care of all the maintenance on the house.
Yeah, but what if the house gets trashed?
Well. I'll tell you what, I'd be willing to pay more than regular rent. What would your house normally rent for?
Maybe about 1800.
About 1800? Really, that much?
Well, as I say, we hadn't really looked at terms, you know. We just figured that was the buyer's problem.
Yeah. Well, I see I just have your house pulled up on Zillow. It says
okay.
that the rental estimate is about $1,400. So,
wow.
I don't know. You think it's 18? Somebody tell you 1,800 or?
No, it just seems like rents are high these days and vacancy rates are low. So we heard that rents were going up.
All right. Well, here, this is Sally. Again, I kind of feel like maybe I'm wasting your time. I don't want to do that. If you would accept if I could rent your house for about $1,400, and then buy it a later date, I could pay the full $250. But I don't think that there's But if you can't do that, maybe it's okay to tell me no. You know, you don't have to tell me. You know, you don't have to. We don't have to do this on the phone. We don't have to meet. I just I wanted to throw it out there, and if it doesn't work for you, that's perfectly fine. But is there any reason that something like that couldn't work?
Well, we're by deciding to sell this by owner, we're looking at all our options, and we're making the decisions instead of having a listing agent make them. So we want to get educated about this process.
Okay. Your house isn't too far from my place. If I'm in the area, maybe I can give you a call, but. Why don't you do this? Why don't I just follow up with you in maybe 30 days? If for some reason the house doesn't sell, then we can discuss another option. But I think maybe at this time, maybe this wouldn't work out for us.
Well, I appreciate your call.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sally.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sally,
so,
you're way better of a hard sell than I was.
Yeah, well, so I just, I guess Sally gave me enough trouble with the payment asking too high and the lack of motivation. And if I don't have any appointments, then maybe I would meet with you and just as practice. But I'm kind of looking for a seller that has a situation where there's more motivation and more willingness, where maybe you're asking me questions, and you did ask me questions, but
oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to ask you more of how it worked. Excuse me.
Yeah, no. It was good. I kind of felt like that was like a real call, and probably what I realized after talking with you is that I'm going to talk to 15 or 20 sellers today, and 90% of them, it's probably not going to be something I can put a deal together on, but the 10%, it's going to be a slam dunk. And so I want to do more of my pre-screening over the phone. And I almost started to say, hey, you live close by, maybe I can stop by and talk to you, but I decided I wanted to show you guys how I can kind of gracefully exit, because I don't want to waste my time with a non-motivated, and then I can make a couple phone calls right after this one and deal. So The teaching points on this are, I'm going into every situation as a buyer, and I am usually seeing if I could pay cash for it. I'm trying to gauge their motivation by finding out, is that 250? Is that the lease that you'll go? If I could pay you cash, how flexible you are on the price. A lot of people have trouble asking for what that mortgage balance is. And so I always just say, hey, how much do you have left to pay off on the mortgage? And then if I ever get any pushback on that, then I will go in a roundabout way, ask about that again. And it's usually say, so how long have you owned the house? And you said, or somebody said 2002. I don't know if that's Chris before or whatever. I said, okay, yeah. So you probably owe close to what you bought it for, or maybe a little bit less. And I guess in each case I was able to get it. But if you really push me and you said, well, I don't want to tell you how much you owe, then my other option is say, well, I understand that. The reason I ask is there's a few different ways I can buy your house. I can obviously pay all cash, but I could pay a higher price if I could maybe take care of what's owed on the mortgage and then make you payments for your equity, or make a lump sum now and a lump sum later. So I know I have to take care of what's left on the loan. And quite honestly, it's not going to affect whatever you owe. It's not going to give me information which is going to make it easier for me to make an offer which is worse for you. It's actually ways for me to make an offer that's better for you. So do you owe like 150 or 175, blah, 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 and I'll kind of shut up and I'll just let them tell me. And if they don't want to tell me at all, then I might just push back and I might say, well, I'm not trying to play hard with you. I understand it's probably not going to work for us. So you're just saying if you don't get all cash, you don't get 250, that you're not going to sell it. And then a pause. And then if they start kind of working with me again, then I might, I might get back and maybe build some more rapport, maybe ask some other questions, and roundabout way try to figure out how I can get to a number that could work for me. So I don't know. What do you got? Any questions about any of that?
Yeah, when this clicks, when it you said something like when it clicks, you've got a deal. Those figures line up. It just feels right. Is it what you say? And are you talking them into it, or is it just really finding the red zebra?
I don't like to. Well, see, I don't like to talk people into it, but you do get better. I mean, I found that when I first started talking with sellers, I was doing a lot more trying to convince them. And it's like, oh, hey, my product's great. Buy this. Or here's all the advantages of lease purchase. It's this. It's great. And so when people feel like they're being sold, then sometimes there's a natural tendency to kind of push back because people don't like to be sold. But
right.
If I can, in the words I say, if I can show them that I have interest, but at the same time, I want to qualify them. I want to make sure this house works out for me. So if you re-listen to this recording, you're probably going to hear me several times saying, Sally, I don't even know if this is going to work out for me. I'd have to take a look at your house first. And the other question I asked was, is it a nice place? Is it a nice place? Can you tell me about the neighborhood? I want to get the seller selling me on working with them. And in my mind, I'm always knowing that you as a seller, you have, I guess, the problem or the potential problem. And I'm a solution. So I'd rather have you try to sell me on doing business with you than me trying to sell you. So I will ask questions to find out if you're a flexible seller. But at the same time, I want to ask you questions so that you have to turn around and convince me to do business with you. And then if all else fails and it doesn't seem like, or I feel like a seller is hedging, like going, I'm not sure, then I'll stop trying to convince and I'll go, hey, Sally, it's okay to tell me no. I'm looking to buy a place. I've got a lot of buyers that are, trying to get into a house, and I want to buy a house so I can sell it to one of my buyers on rent to own. And if you're not interested, I can, you know, I can go down and contact somebody else. So are you saying that you're not interested at all? And then at that point, if they say they're not, then okay, great. Well, I appreciate it. You know, good luck. If anything changes, I'll tell you what. What's your email address? I will email you my phone number, and then I'll email you just like a bullet point, just like a few things about what I probably can do. What's your email address, Sally?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I'll give you that. Okay.
Usually, when I ask questions, I try to assume that they're going to give me the answer. Instead of asking things like, is it okay if I get your email address? Or, do you mind telling me what you owe on the house? I don't think you ever hear me say, do you mind telling me what? Like, I don't ever want somebody, I don't want to ask a question in a way that the seller will go, wait, should I mind if I tell you what I owe on the house?
I screwed that a few times up. Mike
helped
with that.
What was that?
I said you helped me out with that once.
Yeah.
I screwed that up when I first.
Right.
First,
so, exactly. That's basically it. So, I mean, this has been helpful then?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Well, I think this is probably what you guys need. This wholesaling lease options, it seems like it's very difficult now, but it's because you just need practice. And I keep saying it over and over and over. You got to talk to like 20 or 25 sellers a week minimum. And if you talk to 20 or 25 sellers a week minimum, then I don't know a way in hell that you can't get a deal in the first month. And you should be getting, if you talk to 20 or 25 sellers, there should be a deal or a half of a deal in that. So you could do it anywhere from 2 to 4 a month. And that's like 5 sellers a day. So that's going to be like an hour a day at max. And then, you know, get your practice on Craigslist. So just go through and call everybody you can and just do exactly what I did. Send direct mail out. So I'm going to recommend sending some of the best lists for buying houses, period, is going to be like an absentee owner list, then yellow letters, people that have owned the house for more than 20 years. That way you're going to find deals with equity, but you're also going to find people that, you know, they don't have to have the house fully leveraged in order for them to do a wholesale lease option. But if you want to target wholesale lease options, I would go after expired listings for direct mail, and I'd also go after people that have owned, that bought their house between, say, 2003 and 2005 they bought between 2003 and 2005 and it's like a 3 or 4 bedroom house or like a house that's a highly desirable type of house, because you want to find ones that would be easy to resell. That's going to be probably houses that don't have a whole lot of fix-up. You might even target houses that were built between 2003 and 2005. That have only had one owner, because you know they're going to be relatively maintenance-free, and they're going to be easier to sell than ones that need a lot of work or were built in 1930 that, you know, have electrical issues or something like that. So this call has probably lasted a little bit longer than I've got time for right now. So what we'll do next week is we'll do some more role-playing, but I'll involve you guys on the other side. Where you guys are the buyer and I'll be the seller. But in the meantime, if you guys call people and if you, you know, make it a goal to like get through maybe 20 people on the phone and then call me back and report back to me. And if you want me to be on a call with you where you're, you know, a three-way where you're kind of in the background just listening, then I'd be happy to do that. But I want you to call 20 people first before you get me on a three-way.
Okay.
Fine. Good guy.
Fine.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. That was a good call. So I'll post this recording, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks so much.
All right.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Bye.